As always, I'm going to pray for us before we get started. Just pray that God would just speak to us in this time when we go into his word. So let's pray together. Father, thanks so much for the opportunity to be together. And just thanks for your word. And we just pray that you would speak to us powerfully today. And Lord, I just submit myself this morning as your servant. And I just pray for your agenda, your words, your truth to be spoken. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before we get into the sermon portion, I just want to mention the upcoming schedule. I want to let you know what's coming up in the next couple of Sundays because I'm excited about it and hope that you will be too. So the rest of the November schedule is going to be next week. Sandra Morgan is going to be here. Some of you remember her. We had a social justice event in September where she has just been helping us along as God's been putting it on our hearts as a church to engage in social justice ministry and help to bring justice to this world. And so she is from Vanguard University, and she's really active in the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force. And so she's going to come and she's going to share a social justice themed message next Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. And then the following week is Thanksgiving Sunday. I'll be preaching a Thanksgiving themed message. And you know, holidays we found are the times when people are more open to going to church. And so I just want to encourage us that we can make use of that Sunday just to invite family and friends to church. And it'll be about Thanksgiving, obviously, and that's Thanksgiving Sunday. So that'd be a good opportunity for that. And then the following week, our Vineyard missionaries from our church, Rick and Ellen, are going to be back with us from India. And they're going to be sharing with us during the sermon time, but also they're going to have a question to answer during the lunchtime, which we, in the coming weeks, will let you know more about. But if you're interested in missions, especially in India missions, they're going to have some time afterwards during a lunch hour and just be sharing with us. So that's the schedule for the next couple of weeks on the upcoming Sundays. Okay, so you could turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, 21 to 24. That's where we're going to be today. Believe it or not, we're at the end today. This morning is going to be our close of our sermon series in Ephesians. That's the last passage in Ephesians, and title of this sermon is fittingly called The Closer. And the question that we're answering this morning is, how can we press on as faithful Christians? So Paul was speaking in Ephesians 4 and 5, especially a huge list of do's and don'ts. This is the way you are called to live as Christians. And then Ephesians 6, earlier on, it was about spiritual warfare, how we as Christians are to engage into a fierce spiritual battle. So in the midst of this huge calling, Paul's closing out this letter, and he is giving them some words of encouragement about how to press on. All right, so that's the question that we're answering this morning. I want to start out with an illustration, just to get us thinking along the lines of what the passage is talking about. And so the title of the message is The Closer, so I wanted to talk about a closer. On a baseball team, there is a role, and that role is called the closer. All right, and that's not the starting pitcher, but the person that closes out the games, right? They pitch like the last couple of batters or the last inning, maybe two innings. They just close it out. They seal the win, hopefully, for the team, and that's their role. They're not the most famous person on the team. They're not the face of the team. They don't get really all the attention or maybe even much attention at all, but their role is vitally important, right? They need to close out the game well in order to seal the win. I wanted to give an example of this, and many of you know that I grew up on the East Coast in the suburbs of New York City in New Jersey, so I didn't grow up going to Angels games or Dodgers games. I grew up going to the Bronx, the Yankee games, and there was a closer who played many seasons for the Yankees by the name of Mariano Rivera. All right, I have a picture here of him. How many of you guys have heard of this guy before, Mariano Rivera? Okay, many of us. So he was a closer on the Yankees for 17 seasons. He again was not the face of the team. He wasn't the most famous person on the team. He wouldn't pitch the majority of the time. He would just pitch, you know, one inning or two innings in certain games. But his role was vitally important, and it was so important that he was voted as the MVP of one of the World Series. And it was so important that the Yankees kept him around for 17 seasons as a closer, actually 19 seasons in total, but 17 seasons as a closer, that's a long time. So his role as a closer coming in at the end of the game was vitally important. In today's passage, you're going to see a closer. So Paul's writing this letter, but he's going to send in another guy at the end, and he's going to close things out Let's see his role in the church of Ephesus and the end and the closing of Ephesians. So Ephesians 6, 21 through 24, and I have it up here on the screen in the NIV translation. So let's read it out loud together. Ephesians 6, 21 through 24. Watch for the role of this closer. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. So we see that there is a closer named Tychicus that comes in at the end. And he's also not the face of the team, if you will, not very well known. I counted that he appears in the New Testament 5 times. And every time that he appears in the New Testament, it's in passing. It's like, oh yeah, Paul, he traveled with Paul. Or he carried a letter for Paul. Or he's sent to a church, like in this one. I think there was another church that he was sent to too. Just in passing, he's mentioned. He's the closer. But I wanted to say that his role was vitally important. In verse 21, 22, we find out that he was sent to the church in Ephesus at this close point after Paul had written this letter, and he was sent there in order to encourage them. And he was going to encourage them by telling and speaking about how Paul was and what he was doing, about his life, his ministry. And so basically, he was sent there to share testimonies. But it was vitally important to the Ephesians because there was a high calling that was given to them, right? The list of do's and don'ts. Chapters 4 and 5, here's how you're to live. You're supposed to do this and not do these things. You're supposed to be the light of this world. To call to them in Ephesians 6, you're supposed to engage a fierce spiritual battle. And so Paul is saying, but I'm going to send in a closer who is going to finish it off, who is going to bring deep encouragement to you in order to press on. Let me put it like this for point number one. How can we press on as faithful Christians? Following the example of Tychicus, point number one, hear and share testimonies to find encouragement to press on. I want to give an example of this, and many of you are aware that in the last 6 months, we've been adding a new practice to our service where we've been sharing 90-second testimonies. Right, we'd be having people, we just open up the time and people will come up and just share what God's doing in their life or what God's been doing in the church to bring encouragement to everybody, right? Similar to what Tychicus was doing for the Ephesians. And this morning I wanted to share one testimony at this point. We're actually going to share testimonies later in the larger congregation, but one testimony from Sarah Lou from this congregation. It's going to be via video because she is on a trip this morning. But it's a testimony of something that happened in our service during one of our services a couple of weeks ago. And so take a look at her short about 90-second testimony and hope that you will be encouraged by this.
Hi, everyone. I can't be there today, but I wanted to share my testimony about what happened to me a couple weeks ago. On a Sunday morning, when I woke up, I was in a lot of pain, a lot of back pain, more than usual, and I asked Sean to pray for me, and I remember just feeling discouraged overall because I was struggling with this pain for a long time, and I asked God, please give me a sign today at church that you see me, that you know what I'm going through. Later on, Dennis himself shared about having back pain, and he asked everyone who was going through back pain to raise their hand so he could pray for them. And I was already excited and thinking, wow, God's answering my prayer. He sees what I'm going through. And later on, I went up for prayer during ministry time, and the person praying for me had a word of knowledge, and they simply just prayed. They just simply said to me, he sees you. And I was really touched at that point because that was a direct answer to my prayer. God really showed me that he did see what I was going through. So I just want to share this today to encourage you guys to pray, because he does answer prayers and he does see what you're going through. Thank you.
We hear and we share testimonies that brings encouragement to other people. Some of us this morning, we need to hear testimonies because we are pressing on, because we are maybe struggling in something. We need to hear the testimonies. But also, Paul, in giving the example of Tychicus, was saying that we are called to share testimonies as well. that there are certain things that happen in our lives and that God answers certain prayers, that as we share it with others, it helps be an encouragement to others in order for them to press on. Some of us might be here this morning and we would say, you know, I don't have any testimonies. You know, life has been hard for me. You know, maybe other people have testimonies of what God's doing, but maybe not me. And I wanted to share one thing this morning, just an illustration that was shared with me several years ago when it came to Thanksgiving or testimonies that I think may be helpful to you as you consider what God has been doing in your life. The person said that sometimes they used to think that life was like hills and valleys. You know, sometimes it's going really great. We share testimonies. And then sometimes it's really low and it's a low point in our lives. There's no testimonies. And then there's, you know, then go back to the high points and God's doing great things and we're encouraged where there's joy. But then there's back to, down to the low points and it's just a series of hills and valleys. But the person would share that as they went on in life that they discovered that life is really not like that, but really like train tracks. Where always in life, there's things that are tough, where there's things that we are dealing with. But always in life, there's places where we can see God's peace, we can see God's grace, we can see God's love, we can see God's faith, we can see God's power at work in our lives. And I wanted to encourage us this morning that as we look at the train tracks of our lives, there's certainly tough things that are happening and we can't ignore those things. We need to bring those things before God. We need to pray for those things. We need to encourage each other in those things. But at the same time, there's simultaneously definitely things that are happening in our lives right now where it's clearly God's grace, clearly God's breakthrough, clearly God's love, clearly God's power. And for those things, God calls us to be the ones that share the testimonies with others. Some of us this morning, we might say we don't relate to a great Apostle Paul. You know, he went to the ends of the earth. He wrote much of the New Testament. But maybe this morning we relate more with Tychicus, the closer. But of one who bared a great responsibility, played a vital role in the church of Ephesus, who came in a time when they really needed the encouragement to press on with this great call that Paul had given to them. And his role was to come in to share these testimonies. As a point of application, I just wanted to say that at the end of service, at the end of this sermon, we are actually going to break up into groups and just share some testimonies, share some 90-second testimonies with each other, and then perhaps also in the larger group. And I wanted to encourage us to look at the train tracks of our lives and not just focus on the things that are tough. Let's bring those things before God, but at the same time, give God praise and encourage other people with the great things that God is doing in our lives. So I kind of wanted to just throw that out there, that that's what we're going to do at the end of the sermon. But Paul had more encouragement to the Ephesians than just this. So let's look at verses 23 through 24. If we could read this out loud again to 23 and 24. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. I wanted to highlight four words in these two verses. Well, first, I wanted to say, before that, I also wanted to point out something about sometimes not feeling like that we could have testimonies. I want to point out that the exact wording that Paul had. He said that Tychicus was going to come and tell them everything about what he was doing and also how he was. But I want to point out that Paul, there was times when he was going through, at least in an earthly sense, really tough things. There was times when he was shipwrecked, flogged, misunderstood, criticized, hungry. And yet, Tychicus was going to go and share everything because there's always things that are in our lives that we could still give thanks for, and that's why Tychicus brought in that kind of an encouragement to the Ephesian church. When it comes to verses 23 and 24, the four words that I want to point out is peace, love, faith, and grace. These four words, if we could probably slap it on any letter, and it would, it would work, right? You love so and so, you know, peace so and so, with grace so and so, sign so and so, and we could start reading this end of the letter as, you know, just a cliche formality from Paul. But I wanted to point out that when we receive a letter that is extremely loving from a loved one, a friend, and each paragraph is just loving on us, loving on us, loving on us, and then it's signed, love, so-and-so, that closing carries a lot of meaning. It's very meaningful, and it's very connected with everything else that's in that letter. If there's a letter that's that a person pouring out their heart, just being genuine, just being really sincere, and then it's signed sincerely, so-and-so, it's very meaningful. It's very connected with the rest of the letter. And I wanted to say that when Paul closes with these four words, it's very connected with all the rest that he's talking about in the rest of the letter. So let's look at these four words in the rest of the letter. Peace. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 15, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So Paul was saying that we as Christians were called into a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. And this message, this gospel message, is the gospel of peace. Paul goes further than this. He says in Ephesians 2, verse 14, for he, referring to Christ, referring to Jesus himself, is our peace. Jesus is our peace because Jesus was the one who reconciles us to God. And so Paul was saying all through this letter, when he was presenting the gospel to them, calling them to the gospel message, he was saying, Jesus is your peace. So when he was connecting at this end with the rest of what he was saying in Ephesians, this other word, love. In Ephesians 3, verse 17, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Paul said that they were called to be established in love because Jesus was dwelling in their hearts. Or it was because of Jesus that they would be established in love, that Jesus was the source of all love. So Paul has been saying all through the letter, Jesus is the source of peace. He is saying all through the letter, Jesus is the source of love. And then it comes to this word, faith. And faith was extremely important, especially when it came to fighting spiritual warfare, that we as Christians have to engage spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, verse 16, Paul said, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we know that Paul was saying that the enemy is against Christians. The enemy is going to try everything that he can. He's going to throw the flaming arrows, not at non-Christians, because he already has them. He's going to flow the flaming arrows out, the ones that are trying to look towards Jesus, who are committed towards Jesus. And so Paul is saying we need to raise up the shield of faith in order to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil ones. So the big question would be, well, how do we get faith? And Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Paul was saying faith is a gift from God. Faith comes from Jesus. So Paul had been saying all through the letter, Jesus is a source of peace. Paul had been saying all through the letter, Jesus is a source of love. Paul was saying throughout the letter that Jesus is a source of faith. And then this last word, grace. And it says Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So God's glorious grace was in the one. The one is Jesus. So God's glorious grace, his unmerited favor, came to us in the form of Jesus. Jesus is God's grace. Jesus is God's favor upon us. So throughout this letter, Paul was saying, Jesus is a source of peace. Jesus is a source of love. Jesus is a source of faith. Jesus is a source of grace. And then he closes this letter with peace, love, faith, and grace. It was all connected with everything that he has been communicating all along the way. This morning, you might be here, Christian or not Christian, but needing peace, needing love, needing faith, needing grace. And as Paul was speaking in this passage, he was saying the call for us is to love God with an undying love. An undying love, because we need to keep on getting connected with Jesus. Keep on going towards Jesus. Keep on going towards him so that he can keep on filling us with his peace, his love, his faith, and his grace. With an undying love, an undying desire, an undying movement towards Jesus in order to receive all that he has for us. There's a saying that says, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Right? That applies to so many things in life. Job opportunities, You know, it's not necessarily what you know, but it's who you know, the connections that you have, lots of other opportunities in life. It's not necessarily what you know. Not that that's not important, but it's important of who you know. And this certainly applies to our relationship with God. It certainly applies to God's download of peace, love, faith, and grace into our lives, that we would stay connected with him. With this call to persevere, with this call to this list of do's and don'ts as Christians, with this list, with this call to engage spiritual warfare, certainly that we need to go to God for peace, love, faith, and grace. Let me put it like this for point number two. How can we press on as faithful Christians? Point number two, stay connected to Jesus to receive peace, love, grace, and faith as we press on. I wanted to close out this portion with a clear application for us. Because some of us are here this morning and we're needing the peace, love, faith, and grace. The temptation is that we would say, there's other avenues of peace, love, grace, and faith out there. There's other ways that we could get at least at some level, some peace, or some love, some grace, some faith. And Paul was saying to the Ephesians, speaking into their culture, and I've been mentioning along the way that the culture in Ephesus is very similar to the culture in Los Angeles, where the culture in Ephesus was that it was very materialistic. It was a commercial center of the known world at the time. And so there was a lot of temptation that materialism and getting a better job and getting more wealth was going to bring them more peace. But that's the reason why Paul made it a point to say, but Jesus is the source of true peace. There was a temptation for them. They were living in a very pagan, very secular, very godless society. In fact, there was a great temple in that city that lots of people in the known world would flock to. And we face the same temptation that there's other religions and other sources of faith, other sources of grace. And God speaks to us as Paul was speaking to the Ephesian church, that where is true peace and true love, true grace and true faith come from? There was education was held highly in Ephesus, as it is here in Los Angeles. And we can uphold education as a top priority and a place that we can receive all that we might possibly need in life. And Paul was speaking into this in the church of Ephesus. God's speaking to us in this as well. You know, as we close this morning, I wanted to bring a very concrete application about the staying connected to Jesus. Because as Christians, we believe that we have a relationship with Jesus. And just like any other relationship in our lives, it's going to take quality time for us to stay connected. It's going to take just time that's clearly set aside for Jesus, just like any other relationship that's in our lives. If we want to cultivate that relationship, if we want to have a good relationship with that person, we're going to need to set aside time for that person to spend quality time with them, not be distracted by other things or just a passing, you know, engagement with them, but to truly set aside time for them. And I wanted to make this challenge to you guys. For those of us here that would say, man, I do need more peace and love, grace and faith in my life. I know I'm called to press on and I need more of that in my life in order to press on. I wanted to challenge us that this week that we would spend an additional 30 minutes of quality time with Jesus. You know, our theme for this year is enjoying Jesus. And my question is, you know, have you been enjoying Jesus? Because there's so many other things that pull our focus away, whereas it's supposedly to offer us more peace or more love or whatever the case might be. But that Paul was saying that Jesus was a source of the true peace, of the true love, the true grace, the true faith. So this morning, I just want to issue that challenge that this week, you know, whether you've been doing lots of devotions or maybe even none, but the challenge is that you would set aside an additional 30 minutes, undistracted time, that you're going to turn off the cell phone, turn off the TV, turn off the, you know, iPad or whatever it is that might distract you, and that you're going to say that this time is for Jesus. This time is for enjoying Jesus. I need to stay connected to Jesus because I want to press on. I need God's peace and love and faith and grace in my life. So I'm going to set aside this time to spend with the one who can offer that, the one who I need to connect with. And just like, again, just like any other relationship, that is just like, I'm doing this to cultivate my relationship with him, with the one I love and the one who loves me, who is able to offer this true peace, love, grace, and faith. As we close out, I wanted to bring us back to point number one about the sharing the testimonies, and we're going to practice this in just a minute. I kind of want to let us know how this is going to work. In just a minute, I'm going to give us 4 minutes and 30 seconds, all right, where we're going to get up and we're going to get into groups of three, all right, and that'll just be the people right around you. And don't, you know, try not to talk about other things. Just quickly, just go right to it. It's 4 minutes and 30 seconds because 90-second testimonies, three people times three, 270 seconds, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. You're just going to quickly share testimonies. All right? I want to remind you about the train tracks. We all have tough stuff in our life. We're going to pray for those things at the end. But what is it that it's clearly God's grace, his love, his peace, his faith that's in our lives? We all have those things, okay? So really quickly, you know, don't move around too much. Write the people that are sitting right around you and write to it, write to those testimonies. And then one last thing. If one of the people that's in your group, you feel like, man, that's a great testimony, everyone needs to hear that, nominate your group member, okay? So we're going to get back in a large group, and then you're going to be like, you know, my group member has a really great testimony, and we're just going to encourage each other. This is what Tetricus did, okay? So stand up, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Literally, I'm going to time us up here, straight to the testimonies. All right, just a heads up, 2 more minutes. So make sure every group member is sharing their testimony. one more minute. So if you haven't shared yet, let that group member share. All right, let's bring it back together. So you can stay where you're at, or you could go back to your seat. Okay, so remember, nominate your group member if they have a testimony that you think could encourage everybody. And we're just gonna share that together, okay? So I'm gonna pray for us first. I'm just gonna pray for this time to be encouraging. And it'll be just like Tychicus. We're closing out the sermon series. He comes in and he brings the encouragement to the church in Ephesus. But that you would come in like Tychicus and you would just bring encouragement to the VOH church, all right? So I'm gonna pray for us for this time. Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing and all the testimonies that we just shared. We praise you for all those things, all those releases of your peace, love, faith, grace, and other things. We just worship you for it. Guide this time right now as we literally close out the book of Ephesians. We just pray deep encouragement happen during this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you can literally be like Tychicus and be the closer and just come up and bring encouragement to us as we are called to press on too. Okay, so you could raise your hand and share your testimony, or you could nominate your group member if you thought that testimony was really good, and we would love to hear it and be encouraged. Okay, so just raise your hand. Either I'll come out to you or you could come up. We'll just share some testimonies. Okay, so who wants to go first? Got one? Okay, let's hear it.
Hi. I had an eye infection recently, and it was really hard because I couldn't put on my contacts, and I had to wear my glasses, which was really annoying. And I was really worried because if it didn't go away, like, I might have needed to get surgery for it, but, like, it healed, and it's because I prayed for it at home a lot, so, yeah.
We really praise God for the healing testimonies that have actually been happening just in our church recently. So, others? Matthew, you want to come forward? Let's welcome them up.
So my testimony actually just happened this morning. I teach Sunday school here at Kids Church and at another church. So I just came from there this morning. And this weekend basically was a very busy weekend, and there was also just a lot of things on my mind with my cell group at the Chinese side. There's just so many differences of opinion and, you know, people just trying to, not being able to move in the same direction. So, and on top of that, I had to help my sister out with a wedding yesterday. Entire day. So it was a really tiring weekend, but I knew that I had to give this message, not this message, but I had to teach Sunday school to those kids this weekend. And recently I'd been struggling to try and, you know, get their attention, and it was just getting harder and harder. So I was praying about this, and, you know, God was just reminding me, just set your mind on the things that are above, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. So I tried to do that, and I just, you know, I didn't even know that our theme this year was to enjoy God, but that was one of the messages that God was also giving me. And so I just tried my best to focus on God and just praise him, and he did it. He gave me a fantastic, like, hook. I actually compared the superhero Green Lantern to the Christian life, and I'm telling you, that is an insanely good comparison, by the way. So the entire time the kids' attention was kept, and I had a clear mind to be able to give the message and just praise God because he did it all, and just praise him for that. Yeah.
All right, this is great. We're just encouraging the church with what God is doing. All right, so others, your testimony, or if you felt like your group member has an encouraging testimony. Anyone else? Okay, let's have a word of prayer before this next portion. At this time, I'm going to invite the prayer team up and also the worship team. So I just want to issue this challenge again about 30 additional minutes with Jesus this week. Just recognizing that we're called to press on, that we need God's peace, love, faith, and grace in our lives. And I just want to pray for us that we would be enjoying Jesus this week, really connecting with him and really having him download to us the things that only he can download. So all eyes closed and heads bowed. For those of us who are taking on this challenge this week for the 30 additional minutes with Jesus, if you just quickly raise your hand all the way up and then down, that's just your commitment before God. And I just want to pray for us that that God would be in those times and deeply minister to us. So Father, we just pray for the 30 additional minutes that we spend with you this week. We just pray that those times would be deeply meaningful and deeply impactful. Pray that there will be a download of your peace and your love and your faith and your grace. Pray for deep encouragement, the encouragement that only you can give. Give that to you in those times. Father, we just pray that that you would help us in this week to be ones that hear and share testimonies. We will receive encouragement, and that we will bring encouragement to others to press on. Let's all stand as we close out. We're just going to close with two songs of worship, and our prayer team's up here. We'd love to pray for you for any and all needs. It might be related to something we talked about this morning, or it could be just completely unrelated, but we'd love to pray for you and just make space for this. And we do encourage you to keep this as a sacred time. We know if you have emergency, you might need to step out, but otherwise, that we would just keep this a time where we're just engaging with God and people are responding to the Word. So God, we just give you this time. We just pray for your ministry.